Southeastern Baptist Seminary Chapel Service, Tuesday, February 16, 1988. Our speaker today is Colonel Charles T. Clinton, chaplain in the United States Army, a Southeastern alumni.
We welcome you to our service of worship today, which is a special service because of our having special guests on campus. The seminary is hosting a group of chaplains for their annual chaplains two-day conference beginning this morning and concluding tomorrow afternoon. About 90 chaplains have registered for that conference. And by the way, students are welcome to join in any of those sessions if they have free time in the buffet room today and tomorrow. In addition to the 90 who are here as registrants for that conference, there are state directors here from North Carolina and Georgia, state directors of chaplaincy work, from North Carolina, Burke Holland, and from the Georgia Baptist Convention, Archie Mayo. In addition to these, there also are two staff persons from the Home Mission Board who are here as coordinators of the Home Mission Board-sponsored Chaplains Conference. Paul Stevenson is the director of the Hospital Chaplaincy Division of the Home Mission Board's work, and later he will be presiding and introducing our speaker. In addition to Paul Stevenson, who is making his first visit, by the way, to Southeastern Seminary in our campus, in addition on a return visit, it's Huey Perry. Dr. Perry is the director of the Division of Chaplaincy of the Home Mission Board. And I'm going to ask Dr. Perry to lead us in our opening prayer.
Will you pray with me, please? Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we express unto Thee gratitude for the many blessings which You have showered upon us. Once again, it has been our privilege to return to one of our seminary campuses, and it serves to remind us of the investment that You have made in us and those children of God called Southern Baptists have made in those of us who have responded to Thy call to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We certainly would be less than grateful if we did not say unto You thanks. Thanks for moving a great portion of the kingdom of God called Southern Baptist to make it possible for us to have theological education. We give You thanks for the administration of this seminary, for those who make up the staff and the faculty. May Your continued blessings be upon them. It is our prayer that You shall lead us in this hour together. May it be for each of us a worship experience. May whenever we leave here, we can go saying it was good to have been in God's house with God's people, involving ourselves in a worship experience. Continue to bless our activities this day, to the end that You receive the honor and the glory, and our world will be a better world, especially as we have the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is in His name that we make our prayer. Amen.
In addition to the 90 chaplains who are visiting on this campus, some 1,800 others, endorsed chaplains by the Chaplaincy Division of the Home Mission Board, serve literally around the world. It's on their behalf that I express our gratitude to President Lally, Dr. Nyswanger, Dr. Good, and the faculty and staff and student body for allowing us to be with you these 2 days. I'm especially grateful for this, and as Dr. Nyswanger indicated, this was my first visit to Southeastern, and being a New Orleans grad, I am very much impressed. And I appreciate, again, the opportunity and the warm welcome that you've shared with us during these days. Dr. Fred McGee from the Sunday School Board is our resource person leading us in a conference on healthiness in ministry. And again, I would say to those of the faculty and student body, you're certainly welcome to join us for any or all of those sessions today and tomorrow. Our pulpit guest this morning is Chaplain Colonel Charles T. Clanton. Chaplain Clanton is the commandant in the Chaplain Center and School in Monmouth, New Jersey. A native of the state of Arkansas, a graduate of Furman University, with a bachelor's degree, as well as Long Island University with a master's degree, and is an alumnus of this seminary, holding the Master of Divinity degree. Chaplain Clanton has served in many places around the world, Fort Knox, Kentucky, Fort Hood, Texas, Fort Gordon, Georgia, two stints of duty in the Republic of Vietnam, and Germany, and England, and Fort Jackson, South Carolina. Now, as I indicated earlier, is in the commandant, serves as commandant in the chaplain school in Fort Monmouth. Many distinguished service awards are his, including the Silver Star, the Bronze Star, the Meritorious Service Medal, the Air Medal, the Purple Heart, the Army Commendation Medal, the Armed Forces Reserve Medal, the National Defense Service Medal, and the Vietnam Service Medal with 7 stars, and the Army Service Ribbon, Overseas Service Ribbon, and the Campaign Ribbon of Vietnam. Chaplain Clanton and his wife, Betty Ann, have 3 children, John, who's a student at Southern Seminary, Dean, who lives in Indiana, and Elizabeth in Texas. Following our message and song by our ensemble, Chaplain Charles Clanton will come to be our speaker.
It's an honor for me to be with you today. I haven't come with a heavy theological issue. I know you're disappointed. Why don't you just sit back and relax for a moment? I come today to share with you a little from the experiences of the last 23 years and to assure you that all the sacrifice and the hard work and the dedication that you have put out to be here in seminary, either as professors or as staff or as students or as fellow chaplain visitors, is all worth it. We've got a message to share with people that they don't always want, but that they need. It has the power to change people's lives, to strengthen them in sorrow, to make them happier in the times when they're happy, and to go with them right up to death's door and right on into eternity. I graduated from seminary 23 years ago, and I left here with a head full of knowledge and a zeal to win the world for Christ, but very little experience in what the world was all about, or certainly how to preach real good sermons. My first church was great, down in the little town of Pittsburgh, North Carolina. It really wasn't in Pittsburgh, it was out in the country. It was called Emmaus Baptist Church. No, not Emmaus, Emmaus. I tried to change them for 3 years. When I left there, it was still Emmaus. And it's still a good church. Two years later, while I was in the pastorate of that church, with a lot of people who loved me and cared for me and helped me to become, I think, a pretty good pastor. And they shared their ponds with me so I could catch fish early in the morning so I would still be about the Father's work during the duty hours. I used to catch fish and take them to the folks, and they would take the fish and feed me country ham and a good breakfast as part of the payment for letting me fish in their pond. I thought that was a pretty good deal. But in the midst of enjoying this and my little family enjoying that new parsonage and everything, something hit me, because Vietnam had gotten to go into full swing, and all of a sudden there was this gnawing in my heart that I ought to go be a chaplain and serve in Vietnam. And I thought that was kind of a crazy thought to start with. And I didn't mention it to my wife, who had moved around with me several times and had stopped and started our careers many times. But then, in fact, let me tell you, I had no interest at all in leaving North Carolina. In fact, when I was a student here, we had Mission Emphasis Week. And I always skipped chapel during Mission Emphasis Week because I was afraid that the Lord might call me into missions. And I love ACC basketball. And there was no need in me going out of North Carolina. Thank God for ESPN. It follows me now. Wherever I go. But during my devotions one morning while I was struggling with this decision of mine as to whether I ought to leave that fine little church and go do crazy things, I was reading that passage in Matthew that said this to me: "Whoever loves his father or mother more than me is not fit to be my disciple. Whoever loves his son or daughter more than me is not fit to be my disciple. Whoever does not take up his cross and follow in my steps is not fit to be my disciple. Whoever tries to gain his own life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will gain it." And I just had to take that word as for me that day, and I had to get up the nerve to go talk to my wife and tell her what I thought God wanted me to do. And she said the sweetest words that I ever heard. She said, "If that's what God wants you to do, then you better do it." And that was like saying "sic 'em" to a dog. I got on the phone and called the Home Mission Board and told them I wanted to come in the Army, and that God had called me and I knew I was supposed to come. And they said, "We don't need you. There are 32 people waiting in front of you. Get in line." Well, I'll be honest with you, 4 months later, they had taken all 32, I guess, because I got my orders. And in June of 1966, I found myself at Fort Gordon, Georgia, a new chaplain on active duty, working with a bunch of basic trainees, mostly from Brooklyn, New York. And what an experience and an eye-opener that was. But in that period of time, I met some young people who came to chapel, who packed my little chapel every time we had a service, and who was seeking God's help and God's strength because they knew they were going to Vietnam. And they listened, and they responded, and they found strength. They came to know the Lord, and they rededicated their lives and did all kinds of things to get ready to go to war. Then in April of 1967, just 6 months or so later, I found myself in Vietnam. I was assigned to an armored cavalry squadron of the 9th Infantry Division. Now, those of you who don't know military, that doesn't mean much, but a squadron is made up of about 800 men. And they ride around in the jungle on armored personnel carriers and tanks. And I was their chaplain. And that squadron is made up of four what we call troops. And so I went from one troop to another one, and I spent my days out in the jungle riding with those people. When they got in a battle, I was with them, and I didn't shoot anybody, but I was with them. Sometimes I was their good luck charm, I think. But I was their pastor. And I held services when we could, and I stayed with those gentlemen. And I found out even more so that people want God's message, need God's message, and especially in the kind of situation I was in there, wanted God's message. When I got back to a base camp, I used to kind of hope we would get a mortar attack on Saturday night because we would have church on Sunday, and it would kind of increase attendance. Didn't want it to hit anybody, just kind of hit on the outskirts to remind them. You know, people forget in a hurry. And then let me tell you what happened one day that kind of solidified. You know, when I left the seminary, I had a little theology left. I had struggled with lots of the things that many of you have struggled with. I had a little preaching material left. Dr. Leo Green had given me a good stuff from Isaiah and Jeremiah. And some of the other fellows had given me some good stuff, and I was beginning to develop my own. And I thought I had a little bit of theology, but I thought I knew that God was going to work in my life and that God really wanted me to preach the gospel, and the gospel was sufficient and all that stuff, but I just guess I wasn't quite sure. But then one day, one afternoon late, I was trying to hold a service for one of my troops. And they were out on what we call a roadrunner operation, and they were gone all day. They were supporting trucks, and they were running up and down highways, and they were gone all the time. So I talked to the first sergeant, and the first sergeant said, "Chaplain, you be back here tonight at 7 o'clock, and they're going to come off the road. We will have supper and then you can have a service here at the mess hall. I said, I'll do it. 7 o'clock came, I was there. They came in a little bit later, tired, dusty. But we ate some food. Then we got the plates all cleaned up, and we pushed the tables away, and we set up a little service. We sang a couple of songs. I got up then and started talking to them about the 23rd Psalm. And I read the 23rd Psalm to them, and I started telling them how important that was and how God was going to be with them and how he would be with them in the valley of the shadow of death. And that maybe that valley of the shadow of death wasn't the time they were going to die, but when they thought they were going to die, when they were so afraid. The service was over. I let them go back to their rooms. About 3 weeks later, I was awakened about 2 o'clock in the morning by our doctor, who said, Charlie, come on down quickly to the medic tent. B Troop has been ambushed outside of Swan Lock. 45 out of 48 men have either been killed or wounded. All the tracks have been destroyed. They're bringing in the wounded. So I jumped up and got on my clothes, and down there we went. And I walked in to the tent. And there was one young man lying on a bed, burned almost to a crisp. So horrible that I could not hardly bring myself to even walk up close to him, but I did. And when I did get close to him, so he could see me, he said, Chaplain, you were right. And I said, what? He said, you were right. You told us the other night that God would be with us, even in the shadow of death, in that valley of death. Sir, it was that way tonight. I was so scared, he said. But he said, I kept on going. God, help me to keep on going. I kept on firing my machine gun, and the VC were coming up all around us, and everybody was on fire, and it was terrible. But you were right. In about 10 minutes, they put that young man on a helicopter and started to take off with him. But I found out later that within 20 minutes, he was dead. But he told me something that gave me some validity to my message and has strengthened me and made me go on for years till this day with the knowledge that God will do what he says he will do. And the message that I had to preach to those young people I knew was true because I was trying it in my own life. Now, as the head of the chaplain's school, I have the responsibility of preparing men and women to survive and minister on the battlefield. My school is not a seminary, so I stay away from conflicting doctrinal issues. I'm a chicken. But I tell my folks that God is sufficient and will meet their needs and other people's needs. And just as they have to prepare physically to go to combat, they must prepare spiritually by reading the Word, by prayer, by study, by getting themselves prepared, so that when that day comes when they have to go, they will have something to give. I am thoroughly convinced that there are a lot of people in this world today who need God and want God. And I see in the Army a real revival going on among people who want to know more about God's Word. But they are sick to death of phony preachers and phony religion. They want the real stuff. And so the last thing I tell my folks at the school is, if you're going to talk the talk, you need to walk the walk. Because your life is a sermon. And for a chaplain in the Army, or for a minister, or a chaplain in the hospital, or wherever you happen to work, people forget what we say, but they don't forget who we are. So those of you who are students here, as you struggle and study and eat beans and franks and peanut butter sandwiches, remember you have a gospel to proclaim that men and women can depend on and need more than anything else in this world. And God will go with you to help you do that. God bless you. Let's stand for our benediction. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to you for calling us, for giving us the power to live our lives, for giving us the power of the Holy Spirit to live in us and speak through us. And we pray today for all these here that you will help them to remember always, no matter what the struggles are, that your grace is sufficient and your power is sufficient to help us do those things we've been called to do. Give us the strength for this day to face the challenges that we must face. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.